It is the podcast.
It's the podcast.
You want to sing what it's about?
It is about.
That's too early, man. It's the podcast. This is an extension of a Facebook group, which it turns in turn is a topic of today's.
It's a little judge.
So the Facebook group is Sugar Cookie Marketing Group on Facebook. So you can search that up. You can join. All I have to do is wait 9 years before Corey lets you in, and you'll learn everything you need to know about marketing.
Please vote. Should I just let everybody in?
Absolutely not. The wavy hands are the ones who like to fight.
I like to let them in every day so they can get acclimated.
Great. When I say wavy hand, have you ever been in a group and a new group person join and they have a wavy hand next to their name? That's what we call the little wavy
hands. Thank you for letting me in the group.
Those are nice wavy hands. The wavy hands that turn into a fist and fight in the comments are the ones I'm scared of.
Who is these twins I keep hearing about?
So if you want to join that, but even if Corey doesn't let you in, we have a bunch of social media profiles. Also the topic of today's podcast.
Wait, fill out your entry questions. Put podcast on there somewhere.
Some of you blessed angel babies, you'll message the page and you'll be like, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. I've been pending for 5 years. Can you go check? And I'll be like, for sure they didn't answer questions. No, they wrote like a book, a novel about how excited.
Sometimes it escapes me to go check.
So jumping into today's podcast topic is...
Hopping into today's podcast topic, we got to do Easter puns.
You are all over the map today. Corey made a bread. It was
bouncing back and forth.
So what happened on, was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Wednesday last week?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday last week. We had already posted the podcast on Monday. Yeah. So what happened on Tuesday is Facebook went down for an hour. You know that split second where Corey texted me and said, I've been logged out. That it's not, I've been logged out. There's a problem with Facebook. It's, I've been logged out. Have you? Am I hacked?
Is this hacked? I don't know if you're new to the group. I was banned so many times in the past. I spelled how incorrectly. I'll let you decide what I spelled. And like a 30-day ban is a long time. So it wasn't beyond me to think that maybe I spelled how incorrectly again.
When Facebook goes down their safety numbers, if more than just you is having a problem, we're all
as
good.
As soon as I was logged out whilst I was on it.
Yeah, Corey, I get a text from Corey. One, I think you're at your kid's program at school, which means you're on your phone there. And it said I was just been logged out. So I open up Facebook. It logs me out too.
Yeah.
Of course I have my fake profile, it gets logged out too.
We're all logged out.
When you were logged out, I was like, oh, thank goodness. Right. So Gory had this genius idea and she says, jump into the newsletter. We send the Wednesday newsletter. And she said, send out an email as quickly as possible and say that Facebook's down for everybody. Because when your group exists on Facebook and suddenly it's inaccessible, where are people looking for a resource? Of course, you could go to Down Detector and you screenshot it.
I can't be the only one. Here's the other thing is the scams of people saying your page violated some sort of copyright are so frequent that you could think that you were banned because of that and
if
click
you,
on the link.
If you are an isolated incident, you think maybe that was a real message from Facebook. Yeah. Anyways. What goes down for an hour and just appends the world. And that includes Instagram, Threads, Facebook. I think that was a three. So people said, once we all regrouped and hugged each other from the turmoil, said, hey, can we talk about it on the podcast? Not only what happened, how to work around it, and then things you can implement now to ensure that you're not totally up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah. The problem is if you're just doing business on Facebook and Instagram. Like those are the only two places you get business, you talk to your customers, and that is taken from you. You're starting off at square zero.
Ground zero. I don't know. Keep in mind, we don't, if Facebook goes, it's nothing. It is a corporation. Yeah. Like we are just little nothings to them, right?
We are.
So today we have Facebook, tomorrow we may not. And to ever operate thinking that we always have this as a resource is not ideal. It's not looking into the future and it's not being prepped. So another example, because everyone's like, well, where is it going to go? Google had a social media platform called Google+. It did not meet their numbers and they pulled the plug on it. Yeah. But a lot of people had said, this is my social network and now I'm losing this history here, access to these people.
Google My Business website.
Google, like, we
don't, like,
have you ever heard of the Google graveyard? It's a website where it's just you can leave flowers on Google products that they shut down. Just Google graveyard. So we came up with a list of a few things you can work on now to build up now so that you're not facing. I think Zuckerberg pulls a plug just to remind us like what it would be like without him.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you complain about me a lot. You want to see what happens? I think he walked into the server farm and just turned off the lights. That's awesome. Give me an hour. So here's what we would do if Facebook never existed. And I think that's a great way to operate your business. In the event that this doesn't exist, what do I have to fall back on? Right off the bat, I'm going to tell you an email list. So when you have an email list, you still have a communication point with every client you've ever had, right? Also, email list outside of Facebook went down is a great way to generate business. So either way, even if Facebook never went down, you know that we talk high praise of an email list. Do you have an email list?
Have I collected emails?
Yes. So even collecting emails is half the battle, if not most of the battle, of creating an email list. Using an email sender is a great thing for sending out promotions, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say when Facebook went down, I wouldn't use a newsletter sender for your three pickups today to email blast. I'm
like, hey three people.
Spring over to my house in the next 2 hours. I would create an email list as an email sender to send out promotions. Yeah. But that means even if Facebook disappeared tomorrow, you still have an avenue to generate leads.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say I did get one email during the hour because I was like, all I can do now is scroll my email.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. I had nothing to do.
The IRS thing.
And it was like, need something to click around on since Facebook's down. Here's our current sale.
Oh, who sent that?
I can't remember. I think DSW.
I think it's DSW. Oh, I'll be happy.
Look at my new shoes I'm wearing.
It worked. I sent it. My email said it's down, but here's all the memes. I fever pitch was putting memes in.
It was good.
Because I was like,
those are a good meme.
Watch me send this out and it come back. And then I look like the idiot for the five people who noticed it. No, it was down for an hour. Yeah. So I could have added more memes. I could have added more memes. Number two, what to do if Facebook never existed is diversify your social media. This means there's more to manage. I agree. But if Facebook didn't exist, wouldn't you be happy to know you had other platforms to generate leads and communicate with clients?
The best time to grow a tree is 20 years ago. Next best time is today.
Right. So we've learned from the hour outage that maybe the 20 years ago we didn't put the work in, but we can still put it in now. And you still have access to Facebook to kind of funnel some of those users over. So
a little bit I see people will start something.
Absolutely.
Specifically, I've seen it on TikTok with cookies.
It's hard to do.
You start it, and you have maybe four posts from 2022. Listen,
the path of least resistance applies both to water and bakers.
So starting it and then expecting it to give you something in return isn't going to work if you never.
It's not an if they build. If you build it, they will come. It's if you build it and post on it to yourself for years, maybe somebody will look at it eventually.
Yes.
Examples of diversified social media: a LinkedIn business page, Sleepfest 5000. LinkedIn is hard to like. Easy to leave. But it does have the component of a Facebook page just on LinkedIn, and it's great for generating corporate orders, which you heard in Corey's Corporate Girly Era podcast. TikTok, again, now that is an MP4, a video medium, but boy, can you grow on that platform. Yeah. And it is a whole nother, very similar to Reels. And you know, if you're already creating Reels, you could just post them to TikTok.
I do have to, side note, tangent. Someone posted on TikTok. She was like, look at this screenshot I got just after I posted. She had posted a video. Mm-hmm. And it was like, buy 6,000 views for $3.99. Yeah. Like they're on there just selling to you the views that you.
I want the views. Where do I submit my $3.99? TikTok is a great example. Again, TikTok's kind of targeted to more of a broad audience, like a discovery platform versus a local audience. But it's better than nothing.
It is.
Then we have Google My Business rebranded to Google Business Profile. I'm surprised that one didn't land in the Google graveyard. But Google Business Profile is actually the replacement for what Google Plus was in a weird way. It was the Facebook business pages of Google. Now, you guys can have those. They integrate with Maps. They have the ability to post an announcement.
Yeah.
So imagine your client goes to message you on Facebook. Facebook's down. Likely their next move is to Google your business where they find your Google My Business.
Yeah.
And in there it says, hey, I understand Facebook's down. Here's important information for anybody with pickups today.
And they can message you from there.
Which you can post events on there now.
Offers on there.
Yeah, you can do promo discount codes on
your
there.
Your menu is on there.
You can upload photos and things like that.
Yeah.
And videos. You can connect all your social media. Yeah. So even if Facebook went down, and let's say you started up that LinkedIn and it's hard to find, you could essentially drive traffic from your Google Business Profile. Yeah. Google Business Profile, if any of you have gotten your account suspended, it's likely because you're listed incorrectly. You're listed as a business, a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Kind of think of it in terms of what's fair to Google Maps. People who type something into Maps often are in their car driving there.
Yeah.
They're texting and driving. They're not even looking at the road.
And if you want good customer experience, you don't want to necessarily have someone show up at your house and be like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm made to order cookies, so you right. didn't make the order.
Right. So Google My Business does favor brick and mortar shops because that's what Maps is designed to do. However, you can still be listed as a service area there and you can still generate quite a decent amount of traffic. Corey, for instance, is listed as a service area.
Yes.
And but you say you think a large majority of your leads do come from Google
My Business. I think a lot of my corporate leads come from Google My Business.
You can call it Corpy.
I will say, Heather just sent me up on Bing. And while
I want to let you guys know, before you asked me to teach a class, it was so ridiculously complicated. I had to switch to my phone because the app was glitchy. I had to switch to Bing, God forbid. I was on Google, but it was just
But here's ridiculous. The thing. If you buy a PC, you know, like the Dell
okay.
that I have, it automatically wants you to use Bing.
Oh, they're saying that people that use Bing are always 60 plus because they just don't know how to set Google as a default Listen, browser.
I'm assuming that if you don't have time to download Chrome, you're making money that you want to spend on cookies.
Whenever you accidentally, like you're in an app and it's like, there's a problem. Would you like to research a problem? Your PC will default to Bing. Right?
Yeah.
And then there's this pop-up that comes up split second. And would be like, would you like to set this as your default browser? Corey clicks yes. Not reading it.
Not, yeah.
Then she's like, I'm stuck in a sea of Bings.
It's this hellhole.
But being listed on Bing is another great example of diversifying your lead source in the event that Google doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Which is wild is that Bing is so archaic. I don't know why it feels like the website was made in 1992 and they were like, best of luck.
Yeah, it looks horrendous.
It is. I had to switch between my phone to do the verification, then back to the website.
You know what's crazy is I'm part of the yearbook committee. Head. They called me chief the other day.
Okay. Chief of the – you and 5 7-year-olds.
7 ninth graders. They don't have computers anymore. Like Isn't the world wild? Of computers.
But they have Chromebooks.
It's more, yeah. No, not even anything with typing. No, it's more of an iPad.
Really?
Yeah.
I pry this keyboard from a cold, dead
pile. I can't. It's so beyond me.
You people out there who run your business from your phone, props to you, man. You got the patience of 1,000 men and women. But I've got to have a desktop version of things.
If I'm going to type something, I need my fingers to have
like
space.
The window in Facebook Messenger. I can't read it. I need to see the typo that I made 5 sentences ago. Maybe we should be talking in abbreviations. There's no typo. And then Nextdoor. Take it or leave it. It also has a component of the Facebook business page aspect to it. It is, again, yet another platform, should Facebook go the way of the dodo, that you could reach and generate leads.
Yeah.
So for you who exist 100% on Meta-owned properties, which is Facebook, Instagram, the two of you on Threads, you suffer the most when Facebook goes down because your entire business – and when these platforms shut down, in the rare event that they do, but they give you 6 months at most of a warning to funnel people over.
Yeah.
The odds of getting 100% of people funneled to a new platform is going to be zero. You're not going to get it. You're going to lose people. So in the meantime, while the sun shines, gather – you know, sow your sow. There's a bomb word in there.
Sow your sow. While you rye, you rye.
Sun is a shining before it sets. You got a
sourdough. Your sourdough.
Nice power. And then Corey added here Yelp, which is probably dying off itself.
It is dying off. Yelp used to be a big daddy back in the day.
I'll say 10 years ago, Yelp dominated.
Yelp was, I want to say, the Facebook of business.
I think it was a Google Maps of
business.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Then Yelp got money hungry. Now you have to pay to have a logo.
It's a currency. It's like, would you like to log in? That'll be $1.
They call me every week.
When I worked for other companies, I was a point of contact for Yelp, right? So they kept calling me. I haven't worked at this company for years, right? So I said, hey, listen, Brad. I'm going to tell you right now how to get directly to the decision maker. You've got to follow exactly what I say. I said, call in. You're talking to the gatekeeper. Tell him, no, you need to talk to Alexis. You're a good friend. When you get into Alexis, pitch immediately. But please, whatever you do, tell him my number.
Oh, it's so crazy. They must have a huge turnover rate there. Absolutely. The amount of people I have been passed to. Like, Corey, I just wanted to introduce myself.
I, at the beginning – you know, Yelp was really great in that it was pretty much ethical reviews.
Yeah.
But then that filter came out. And then the alleged thing, I know Yelp denies it, is that if you were a paid business, you were paying for ads, they would unfilter your good reviews. But the minute you cancel, your good reviews would go back to their filter.
I think people call them out on it. Because now to like...
They say it's illegal for us to do that. We would have never done that.
Are you hitting my table?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't like that. Go
back to the Yelp. I didn't know. Have you gotten a lead from it? Are you on Yelp?
I am on there.
As a business?
Thank God. It says still has not been claimed. Because to claim it, they want you to talk to
them. Hostage situation.
I just uploaded a bunch of photos, put my name up there, and said Woodbridge.
Yeah, it's a rough one. But it's an option.
It's
an option. If Facebook didn't exist, where would you go? The big thing was maybe 7 years ago is that Google wanted that traffic from reviews. And they have the search engine where you typically land on Yelp. So it was alleged that Google would start favoring itself over Yelp. Why wouldn't they? Then they introduced Google local service ads, which is a type of ad set for like electricians
Yelp
and plumbers.
Yelp got money hungry. And just the between those
same
two
thing that happened to Angie's List, man.
Yeah.
Now Angie's List entire brand is we're Angie. We're not Angie's List.
We're
not what we used to be.
We dropped the list.
That's literally their ad. It's Angie without the list.
Yeah.
Because it got so money hungry. Angie's List at one time was also the beacon for all businesses.
Yeah.
Our dad would say we live and die by Angie's List. And now it's just kind of this barely app that nobody uses.
I know. Crazy.
Same thing with Thumbtack. Nextdoor is kind of going through it as well.
Alignable.
Please, whoever sends us alignable invites, me off that list as well. Okay, now I'm going to say if Facebook never existed, I'm going to add this one. Now, this is different than a newsletter. Newsletter blast promotions, that's what I'm saying. This one's going to be Gmail and Google phones, specifically because some of you, and a lot more of you than I thought, because you always confess when Facebook goes down, do not collect emails and phone numbers. You get a little lazy. And then you say it was just so easy to do this on Facebook.
Yeah,
and it is until it isn't. Everything is easy until it's not.
I know.
So you need to collect your emails and you need to collect your Google phone numbers. You can use Gmail to send out, hey, just a reminder to pick up today. That's a Gmail without burning your work email. The promotions, that's going to be through a newsletter. But with the Gmail at all time, the minute someone says on Facebook, I'm interested, before the word interested, say, I need your email, I need your phone number.
I'd be like, oh, love what you're saying. Please send me an email.
And right now, in the wake of Facebook being down for an hour, just say, hey, yeah, to ensure that I can still communicate with you should Facebook go down, let me just grab your email. It's a great way to build a list, but it's an even better way to ensure that should the worst happen, you can still talk. Because I see those people in that 1 hour, they're like, I have 3 pickups today.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to communicate with them.
I know. Crazy.
When was the last time I went down? 2021, I think.
It was. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but it was the 8-hour day.
Yeah, that was a long one.
Yeah, we got a ton of work done.
That was a long one. So what to do if Facebook never existed? I do those 4 things. I do them right now. These are the plant a tree 20 years ago things to do.
Yes.
Now, here's what you can do when Facebook – oh, no, moving forward. And these are kind of similar. Those are what to do when Facebook was down. You should have done it. And these are things that you could have done immediately to kind of that. So you said run a contest to build an email list. You could do that right now.
So an email list, hard to grow if you're starting just – willy-nilly, but you can run a contest and get more emails that way. So you can kind of jumpstart it. So by doing a giveaway, maybe a custom dozen.
Remember, there is a podcast on giveaways. Do listen to that before you type the word giveaway, contest, prize, winner.
Just type the word giveaway.
Yeah, it's going to trigger a script. It's going to duplicate your page. You're going to have a bunch of little random baby pages
on
your page.
And then you'll have, if you haven't listened to it, a bunch of people will message your contestants saying they won.
Yeah, when we tried it, I had this genius idea right before the Vendy Blendy. Bosch, Nutrimilk came out with this tiny mixer. What was it called again?
The Artiste.
The Artiste. And I was like, oh, we should do a giveaway for one. Plug in the Vendy Blendy. So I'm like, hey, guys, who wants to win a giveaway of an Artiste? prize will be chosen soon. Immediately, someone's like, I was typing out my credit card information.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I had to delete that post.
You noob.
Yep. I didn't even use those keywords.
If you say win free.
I don't think I even use that. I think
you got
smart.
Scammers coming like this post.
Scammers, you want some free credit cards? Number 2, have all of your autoresponders collect emails and phone numbers right off the bat. On Facebook, you can have an autoresponder. You can even use, it has mail merge text. So you can say, hey, at Heather.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for reaching out. I am busy in the kitchen. If I can get your email and your phone number and a brief description of your order, I'll be happy to get back to you. Immediately right there.
Yeah.
We've got an option.
Uh-huh.
We've got an option should Facebook go down. Corey also adds forms. If you have a form, collect emails and phone numbers and set those as required.
Yeah. I know a lot of people don't do the phone number as required, but the phone number, if someone is having a pickup, I just know from my customers, like, sometimes they're not checking their email. Like, mm-hmm. they gave you their junk folder mm-hmm. email. And, like, when you email it, you can end up in promotions, too.
We had taught this cookie class. And this group of three ladies, they're a bit much. But, you know, I send out first a reminder, then a follow-up, and then I send all the information in class that they got. So she comes up to me, and I'm sure in her mind this wasn't rude at all, but she was like, oh, yeah, I'd given you my junk spam folder because I didn't want any of those. Anyways, now I want a private class. Here's my real email.
Delete.
Your money is no good here. But yeah, have all your forms automatically and set it to a required field. Even you can add a disclaimer on the phone number one. Say, I will never use this unless email is inaccessible.
Yes.
Right. Because what happens is some people have really poor email inbox hygiene.
Yeah.
And they get absolutely full. And I've gotten, like, when I send out the Wednesday, the amount of you guys that have reached email inbox capacity.
Yeah.
I get these kickbacks. It's like, yeah.
What is the capacity for an email?
I'm sure it's different per platform.
Must be getting close.
Delete some. Guys, you're allowed to delete them. Did you know that?
Can you do a group all delete? Like, can I delete everything in my promotions folder? Like a mass deletion?
You can. Permission or asking?
I'm going to need you to show me after the podcast.
Click on your tab, click on the check all, and then just click select all, and then click delete.
It's going to be like. It usually does that just one page, though.
Look over my arm real quick. If you go to, look, it's all cleaned out. So if I go to click on this, then right here, select all 79, and then you would click delete, and it says, are you sure you're going to delete everything?
Okay. We'll be
we all learn it Sunday. So that one I would say on the phone number, like, hey, I'm not going to spam you. And you can do that with email. This is just in case. Yeah.
I will say I am not one to ever want to call somebody, but a quick text for someone who's running late has saved me time and time again.
And I know we don't talk about text message marketing a lot, but it's actually it has a very high open rate. You can't abuse it. But that's a different
the amount of people partaking in it.
I accidentally signed up for coaches, the bag place text. I was like, coach, there's not enough arms on my body to carry purses that often.
Ondo socks.
Oh, yeah. You bought those? The socks that don't slip?
Yeah.
Did they work?
Yes.
They were like $60 a pop.
Yeah, so I had to sign up for their text message to get a discount.
I think you do all really, caps stop and you get off of it.
I know. How often do you think I need a new socky?
Do they work?
They do.
So the Ondo socks, I'm sorry, I got Target and Nans. They've been in various carts
it's
of mine forever.
It's the way that it's designed. It's like almost like wearing a loafer, you know?
Yeah, but yeah. So you know when you have those little socks that are nothing more than a glorified Ziploc bag that comes off the back of your heel?
Yeah.
I'd swear it would cause car accidents when the sock slips off the back of your heel.
It has a little piece of almost like plastic. Like the
rubber.
On the back.
Yeah. So these Ondo socks are meant, and they guarantee, and the ads are very convincing. It's somebody yanking on the bottom of the sock, and it will not slip off of you.
Well, I will say, like back in the day, the little ballerina slipper sock, like that barely covered the big toe. Like, of course, it's going to fall off. This is really up on the top of your foot.
Yeah. Oh, so could you not have a ballerina shoe?
No.
Oh, so you really gotta.
So they kind of.
No, so truly no one solved the ballerina shoe problem, sock problem.
Yeah, you'd need something to come up on the top of your foot to hide it. It could not be a ballerina.
I can't believe you bought those. What shoes do you have?
I wore them that I want to wear them with?
Yeah.
What shoe? I don't know why. I love
that. What can you do? Number four, set up any missing diversified socials right now and start growing them. It's one thing to just create them. That's not how it all works. When Facebook does go down and you go back to LinkedIn and realize you have 2 page followers, what good was that?
Yeah.
At least you parked it so nobody else could make it, but you didn't grow it.
Uh-huh.
So right now we have Facebook's back again. We can funnel some people over there. We can start growing those channels organically, which on LinkedIn you would create connections with people and then post from your page and share it.
Yes.
Which LinkedIn really, really, really wants you to do. And then you can start growing that channel. So when Facebook does, or if it goes the way of the dodo, you have another avenue to grow. Same with Nextdoor, same with TikTok. You can't wait until Facebook no longer exists and then suddenly be like, hey, everybody, I'm back. Because they're not there.
Yeah.
And then number five is back up your photos. So I know quite a few of you are guilty of treating Facebook like cloud storage. It is not. And when Google Plus went down, when they said, hey, we're pulling the plug on this, it was like, click this button and you can download your now very small photos.
Yeah.
Because it was like, we're not here for free storage. So a lot of you guys, if Facebook just shut down, let's pretend it shut down and it wiped the servers.
Yeah.
And the odds of this happening low, but not,
let's
know.
Say more often than not, you clicked a link, a hacker got your account, they posted something inappropriate, and then Facebook took the page down.
Do you have no proof that you're a baker now?
Yeah.
Are there no photos you can use?
Are you starting from scratch?
They're like, no, I never deleted them from my phone. I have 50,000 photos. If you – okay, so we went and upgraded our phones the other day, and the guy was like, yeah, a lot of people don't back up their things, and then they're surprised when we wipe their phone. It's gone.
Yeah.
He had said somebody with this game that they've been playing for 10 years forgot to create a backup and restore point, and when they open their new phone, they're like, where's my game? It's gone.
The world is your oyster.
You get to start over. So that is back up your photos. If you use Instagram, if Instagram and Facebook are the only way for you to find photos of your work, you're running a risky game.
Yeah. I know there is a setting on Instagram that when you post to Instagram, it saves it to your phone. If you had already.
I guarantee you, people's phones are too full for them to enable that.
That is true.
They're probably thinking, I just uploaded it from my phone. I don't need it back.
They're like, no, 3 copies is good.
50 photos of that one cookie, I'll be set.
Here's the thing, my friends. Because Facebook and Instagram are back, a lot of you will put this in the back of your mind.
Same way, 2021.
Yeah.
We had all the best laid plans of mice and men to create that email list.
It was only an hour. We're back. It wasn't that bad. And you're not going to do a gosh darn thing. Different.
You are going to say, well, I listened to the podcast today and I'm going to think about doing those things. But could this happen again? You're going to only think, I wish I did it back when they said to do it.
And if you are truly worried, like maybe I did spell how wrong again, having a backup on my account. So having Heather as an additional admin can save me.
I floated
me from
Corey
losing
for her 30-day multiple bans.
I wasn't allowed to do any. I wasn't even allowed to like a post.
Here's what I – and even if you think, if you use like a third-party API software to schedule posts, it still pipes it through the banned profile and they'll reject those.
Heather almost, because I came here and we shared the Wi-Fi.
It booted me.
It thought I was taking over Heather.
It thought I was your fake profile.
Yeah.
I had a contact Meta through ads.
Insane.
And he was like, yeah, AI does this and we have no power over it.
Yes.
I don't know. You have no guarantee that your Facebook page, your Facebook profile, or your Instagram profile will be available to you tomorrow. Yes. And you can see that once you lose those, the likelihood – I don't think that I've seen anybody I know ever regain access to those profiles. I've never seen it. So
but I have seen Baker say, I'm devastated. This has been devastating.
How could it not be devastating?
Yeah.
It's your entire business. You've planted on one platform and you've done everything you should.
Yeah.
You did everything right and now it's gone and you can't make a single dollar and you cannot communicate with your past clients.
So I want you to put yourself back in that hour.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one point. Have a website. Okay. Don't listen to Corey. She doesn't have one. But if you have a website, you can add banner communication.
Yeah.
On WordPress, I always use Hello Bar, and it allowed me to say at the top, like when COVID happened, which was over 4 years ago now. Isn't that insane? A lot of clients' websites that were WordPress-based, because that's what I use, we were able to put a banner that says, hey, guys, the showroom is closed. Hey, guys, we're still open for, outside pickups or whatever. So when you have a website, you're still able to communicate with your audience, because that would be the next thing. If I couldn't get you on Facebook, I'd Google you to find your Google My Business, to find your website, to find a contact form.
Absolutely.
Right. That's 50 million clicks.
Yeah.
But if I was really determined enough, if I had an order I needed to pick up, that's how where I'd go. And I'd love to see like, hey, everyone, I know you can't find me. Or hey, everyone, my Facebook page was hacked.
Yeah.
Click here. I'm still doing orders.
Uh-huh. Or if your Facebook page gets taken down, hey, follow me. This is my new one.
And if you are into how websites should work, is your website should be the center of all your social media. Every social profile should link back to the website. And from your website, you should link out to social media. So that way, if Facebook's down, oh, I can go there. When I look up you guys, you bakers, I scroll right down to the footer. That's where your social media should be listed. And I'm hoping to find the little icons that I can click and go.
Click on that often.
Corey said, don't include X. Now I don't even think I can look up like X content without logging in. Twitter. Whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really like it.
I don't love it at all.
Threads is a better experience, user experience to me.
Really? Because when was the last time you logged in?
I logged into it when Threads
was down. I click on it.
I forgot Threads existed until it went down, really. So moving on to text messages, we have two.
We have two?
I know. 571-556-5644. Get your questions
answered. Say it again slower.
571-556-5644.
This segment doesn't exist without you.
Turns out.
Text us.
Hi, twins. Just finished March 5 episode and want to say thank you for the content, but mostly for getting Corey something to do with her hands. I thought I heard something about a fidget, but maybe she was just not hitting the table. Just so happy that beating sound was not there this week. It's there this week because you're still hitting my desk. Do you need a scooter?
Okay, let me just... It's because I'm cross-legged.
Here's the thing, Corey, you cannot offer constructive criticism because she still tells you you're wrong. But we got people texting in. Thank you for
that.
That
was from the biggest one drums. Where I was just a tinge bit.
Did our feet? No, you're touching the desk. Uncross your legs.
I can't. Both feet on the floor. I cannot. My body naturally does it.
865, you and me together forever. Oh. Hi, twins. Tracy at Sugar Bees. This is another text. Do you have any thoughts on hiring someone via Fiverr to manage my socials? Any tips to find the best fit for my business? Fiverr is a marketplace for services. Like, think graphic design really, it's a lot of graphic design stuff. You can have a logo design, things like that. I really like Fiverr. I use it sparingly, though. If it's only $5.
Here's the thing. You get what you pay for.
Yes.
There's a lot of trust that you're going to put into someone running your social media. Mm-hmm. I like to say someone that you can drive up to their house and, like, threaten them if they
should. Kick them in the kneecaps. With Fiverr, and I always tell people, like, you got to get real, real comfy with your marketing team because you're going to give them your logins. Now, there's some ways to work around that LastPass. One are using business manager to assign. A lot of people don't use it that way, but that's the way you should use it. Should you let now? Okay. Just, we have the trust aspect of somebody who's likely overseas. We have VAs that work for us that are overseas, but you're giving someone who's likely overseas access to your entire business. So you're going to need to make sure you trust them. I'm not saying it's like a bad idea at all. It's in fact what we do. But now that was only the first hurdle. The second hurdle is you got to like the content they post. Now, this is what I see the problem happens when you hire a VA to do social media is you don't like what they post. So you get your hand in there and you write the content yourself. And then the VA is like, okay, well, I guess you're writing the copy now.
We had a customer like that, a client.
Yeah, cool. This is not overseas.
I don't know why we were hired. At the end of the day, all I clicked was published. Like, I didn't come up with the copy.
That's a great example. And what I'm alluding to is that how much are you going to like the way they write?
Right.
If you're one of those like laissez-faire business owners and you're fine with anything, then this would probably be a great investment. Uh-huh. Outside of the trust thing. But if you're going to be like, well, I don't like what you wrote there. I didn't like how you worded this. Your copy has no emotion to it.
Looking from the other side of the business owner, we have dealt with a lot of business owners who don't provide the content, but are like, where's my post?
One business owner we have, for some other reason, I got stuck with her. Corey got stuck with the other one. She was like, stop using stock photos. And I was like, absolutely, would love not to. Could you provide me with the photos you'd like me to use? And she's like, I don't have any. I'm really, we can't just have text, bro.
Yeah. And now in a world where now AI is more common. I want to say the hardest thing that's happening to the baking world is AI cakes.
Like, I saw this people TikTok. Are being like, they said, so when we're getting older now, it used to sound cute when I said people our age, but now people our age. They said people over 50, if you're over 50, don't be offended, are susceptible to thinking that AI is actually genuine.
Yeah.
That the stuff, so it was a TikToker and he had his picture of this kid who's got one of those cutesy faces, you know, AI generated.
Yeah.
And he's standing in front of a sculpture of Jesus in the snow.
I saw this.
Okay, but it looks like there's no way you'd be, what's the guy that sculpted David, the statue? Leonardo da Vinci or whatever? This kid would have to be, and the kid's like 9. The dude can't even write his name right, let alone sculpt Jesus in the snow for an hour. So they were like, the problem is that people on the internet, people of a certain age for some odd reason. Here's the thing. If you make an AI photo, let me see the hands. Let me see your hands. AI is like, I think humans have 10 fingers.
But here's what I see now in local community groups. Uh-huh. People will be like, I need someone to make this cake for me. And it's got like real cats uh-huh. on it. And I'm like, that is so AI. They're like, I want this exactly.
Yeah, AI is kind of messing it up. Anyways, yeah, at the end of the day, we have AI that's now in getting into social media. What if the person that you've hired on Fiverr, forgot we're talking about Fiverr, yeah, we're like sorry. On TikTok. But what if they post an AI content and then you're like, hey, oh no. So you're going to have to really, really spell out what you want. And then you get so close to spelling out what you want that you realize you could just do it yourself.
Yeah.
However, at the end of the day, if you're laid back and you provide them the content and you provide them the copy, you could do that. However, social media scheduling platforms like OneUp and Hootsuite allow you to reuse material. Yeah. So you can kind of create a recurring base. So let's say if I made a post in January and I had it repost again in March, my audience won't know that it's the same content, right. but it's one less post I have to make yeah. in another month. I'd probably exercise that route before I'd hire someone on Fiverr. If I did hire somebody to manage social, I may hire a local mom first.
I would say a local person, you can meet with them. You guys can talk. You can really like they can learn from how you imagine, speak to them.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. The temperament, the temperature at which you like write your brand voice. You could also get a mom, hire a mom, and she could post about your business. Grassroots, not astroturfing. Yeah. I'm talking about like, hey, I work with Corey Mixing Bowl Cookie Company. We're running this promo right now on sale Saturday in this Facebook group. Yeah. That would really farm out. Somebody had asked yesterday in the Cookie College, they said, how can I schedule posts for community groups? It's getting to be too many posts. Yeah. And someone's like, unless you're an admin, no, you're going post per post.
Yeah.
So you could hire somebody to do that. That'd be a pretty nifty way. But again, you're going to have to agree that your brand voice is your brand voice. This is the this is the imagery that you want to promote. Yeah. These are the sales you want to run.
I do want to talk now, total tangent again, okay. about the point you just made.
Okay.
Community groups are great. Many people belong to more than one of the same
community groups. You're going to say, I know what you're going to say. Go ahead. Don't post the same post exactly in two groups.
Yes. What it does is it makes you look disingenuous.
It makes you, I'm going to say it, lazy.
A little bit. What it also does to the person in both of the same groups that you just posted in, it will show that you posted the identical post.
And it'll group them.
One will be small and the other one is the one that I can actually see.
I am positive you bakers are in multiple baking groups, as you should be. But you can see that person that posted in the three baking groups that you're in. Yeah. In your feed, it says, this person posted in these three groups, but you only see the first group. Uh-huh. It's not ideal in getting engagement.
So I would say, if you're like, there's just too many groups now, step back from that. I want you to consider, where is your target audience? Where are they most likely to be? Is it women who are calling you? They're probably in the women's group that's local to you. Mm-hmm. I know that there's people in all groups, mm-hmm. but to take the easy way out, copy and paste.
I would focus on the group that allows you to make a post. Mm-hmm. Not posting mm-hmm. a thread. Nothing. We live in an extremely highly populated area. The groups that has like 50,000 people in them have these sales threads.
Yeah.
When I click on them, I see no customers. I only see business owners.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, if I was a business owner, I probably would just forgo this completely. It seems like a waste of time.
It's almost like the business owner's like, oh, I'm just checking off my list.
That's what everyone, because I see, like, this we posted last week's sales Saturday thread. Yeah, I'd focus on the groups where your target audience is. So if you like, well, 98% of the people who order from me are women, I'm going to find the women-only community groups. Uh-huh. It's going to be your top hitter.
Yeah.
I would find within those women community groups, the ones that allow you to make sales posts. Uh-huh. That's going to be your top hitter of the top hitter. Uh-huh. And then within those community groups of the women that allow you to make a sales post, I would post new and interesting content specifically designed for that group.
Yeah. Not hey, lovely people. And then I see, hey, lovely people, 5 different times. Hey,
lovely people. Y'all are lovely. Y'all are people. It's your lovely wallet. So that's a great point. Corey and I can talk at length now about community groups.
Listen.
Corey's got his community group. They're trying to. We're running A/B tests on these people. It's kind of good. I asked this question. If you want to take this and ask it in a community group, ideally it's a community group you've been active in. You're not just going to dive bomb in there, leave a post, and leave.
And we'll tell you what that question is next week on the podcast.
Darn, I can listen to him again. We got a listener in the day. Get you tell us what the Cookie College is and what you just dropped.
When did I drop? Oh, yeah. So the Cookie College is a membership platform, and it's designed for bakers by bakers. So a lot of times when you're in your baking business, you don't have enough money to hire a whole marketing team. Totally understand. Who does? So what we do...
They're like, I just tried to ask you to do that on Fiverr. That's $5.
What we did was create a Done With You marketing plan that will take you step by step to grow your business specifically online, which is where most of us bakers tend to find our customers, mm-hmm. i.e. Facebook, websites, things like that. So these courses, we're always adding to them, but like the heavy hitter ones that people really love is the photography course, which it's the biggest course in there, I do believe. Mm-hmm. I took my time with you guys. Mm. At the beginning of it, you will not know how to take a photo. At the end, you will have a beautiful photo. That's all I can promise you. Mm. So if photos are something you struggle with, that website design creation is on there. We have what, Wix? Mm-hmm. Or is it Square?
Mm-mm, Wix. I should do Square though.
Yes. And Heather is going to make me a Shopify one.
Mm-hmm. I have to teach a class on it?
Yeah.
I need to work with the freedom to make mistakes by myself. I need to blow it up alone.
Bloop, bloop, guys, I'm back. How to set up an email list, how to set up a newsletter, mm-hmm. how to set up a custom email like domain, how mm-hmm. to set up tons of stuff to help you grow your business online. I would not promise you success if so many people hadn't gone before you and were successful in the college.
Somebody posted last week, I got the first Hyundai Santa Fe in my area, yeah. and I bought it completely with cookie money.
Insane. Insane. Yeah, I love to see my little grasshoppers grow up.
Don't leave it. Oh, yeah. That said, you can learn more about the Cookie College. It actually includes, it's five different memberships. The Cookie College includes the memberships below it. Or if you can say, hey, I'm not ready for that yet, you can have the Cookie Class Kits membership. That's $63. The Cookie College is $76. Mm-hmm. You can have the Baker's Business Basics. It's $36. The Digital Downloads is only $10. And the $2 Transfer Club is, you'll never guess. What? $2.
$2?
$2. But the Cookie College includes all that. Now, what I wanted Corey to add, but she didn't.
Sorry, I was talking.
Was that the Taylor Swift-esque inferred.
Yes.
Sweet Sugar Singer class yeah. dropped last week. It is a vibe.
It is.
It would be, I'm getting into my Cookie Class era. $19.99. $89 ago. But it is 6 cookies, 4 icings, and it is themed toward a specific singer who likes football.
Yes. No football things in there, but you have very cute things that tie to the albums. Nothing's copywritten, so you don't have to worry about ball. That. We have Mirror Ball, which is
a disco ball.
It is, but she says it's a mirror ball okay. in her tongue. We have a snake for the Reputation era. Scarf, she likes scarves. Friendship bracelets, it was in her tongue. Now they trade them.
A lip.
We have red lips. She always wears red lips. And we have the heart sunglasses, which she's known to wear.
Very nice. So very cute class. I think it would actually make a great DIY kit. Corey and I are actually teaching one of those Cookie Class Kits classes this Saturday. It is the Luck of the Icing.
The Luck of the Icing.
Dave, we sold it out pretty quickly. Yeah. I think it should be a good class. The classes are meant for kind of a beginner to beginner mediate.
Yeah.
This Sweet Sugar Singer is a little bit more beginner mediate.
I would say a little bit harder. This Luck of the Icing. Easier.
Yeah. Four leaf clover, man. Just repeat the process 4 times.
Listen, the four leaf clover is big. Oh, you gotta work fast.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's a wet on wet kind.
It's a wet on wet, too. It's dots.
Cattywampus.
Cattywampus.
When we were teaching a class, and we were like, make scattered dots. And the lady was like, cattywampus. And since then, I've never been able not to think of that word.
Heather says it every time.
You give me some cattywampus dots.
Can't scattered wait. Dots. Just etched into my brain.
So we'll be teaching that on Saturday. The classes are great. We sell our classes at $75 a ticket, which means one class.
You upped it to 78, I didn't believe.
Maybe I did. I don't remember what I do. Sometimes I sit and forget it. But if you charge, the average class ticket is $50. I took an average for people in, you know, middle America, people in high cost of living areas, $50. So if you sold a ticket and a DIY kit at class, you would cover the cost of a Cookie Class kit, but you'd also get every class kit that's dropped this year. Yeah. So you technically get 4 and a new one. The graduation class
it's coming up
will drop at the beginning of March.
Beginning of March.
April.
April 1st, week of April.
For 7 days of April.
Stop asking.
So check that out at thecookiecollege.com for a breakdown of each of those memberships and an easy place to sign up.
Let's go to our sponsors. Okay. Eduardo. Eddie, my man. It's just come in handy, man. Yes, I used him for an order yesterday. It was a Princess Peach Mario themed, but heavy on the pink. because she had ordered a cake and it was Princess Peach themed. So she wanted all the Mario characters, but in Mario, there's the brick wall.
You don't have to tell me twice, buddy. I busted and head boinked many a brick wall.
A pink brick wall, which I was able to print. Ah. Yeah. Oh, easiest cookie.
How did you make a brick wall pink?
I wish I was talking.
Okay. Hello, Heather. No. How are you? There ain't no way you photoshopped that yourself.
No. Eddie, though, is a direct-to-food printer. He is amazing. It is the coolest machine. Even when I turn him on now, I think it's so stinking neat. But if you want to print on the top of a macaron shell, you can do that. Royal icing. A lot of people print on rolled buttercream. I even think you can just print on buttercream itself.
That would be weird.
Buttercream on a cookie, not rolled.
Oh, I think the rolled one makes more sense. The buttercream on a cookie, doesn't that have those grid lines where they go back and forth?
There's another way you can do it. Where
excuse
you can
me, buttercream people, stop yelling at your
phone. It's a warm knife. Can slide across.
Yeah. You can also print on chips and cheese.
Yeah, there's so many things you can print on. Now I saw they were had an ad where it was the top of the K-cups.
Oh, that was a new. That's an add-on. Yeah, thing. You can do Jordan almonds, Mentos, M&M's. A lot of people do the M's.
Donut.
Yes. That's an extension, like a lip extension.
Yeah.
Very neat. You can check them out at Eddie Printer Users Group on Facebook, or if you just are like, I'm so old, go to Primera.com. It's like if you have ever been to the Primera website, it's like machine 105 32.5, machine 106 32.7. Yeah. Machine 107.3. I don't know who had the Eddie marketing.
It was so funny. I had an order, a corporate order, and I showed her the Eddie cookies. She's like, okay, great, 3 dozen. So make the 3 dozen, send her the photo as I do everyone before pickup. And she said, I got so excited. I showed my husband. It was supposed to be a surprise. He would ask if he could do 4 more dozen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, of course it was due the next day. I said, I can tops 1 dozen unbagged. And she's like, deal.
What was the order for that? Huh? It was a picture of.
It was his logo. It was a physical therapy office opening.
Congratulations,
along
man.
The beltway.
Moving along, last but not least, Courtney Post runs Bakety Bake. Used to be Bakety Bake Idaho, but actually just Bakety Bake. It's a meringue powder called Royal Batch. It's everything you wanted and nothing you don't need.
Yeah.
It has corn syrup. Why? Vanilla. Food coloring.
Vanilla is not a food coloring.
Vanilla flavoring.
Extract, yeah.
White. Food coloring.
There you go.
There's the 3 things. I'm missing one thing. Mm-mm. No. Anyways, you can check it out at bakeitybake.com. You can buy a 1 pound bag or save when you get the 5 pound bag and save additionally on either pound bag with code TWINS.
Yeah, TWINS will bring it down.
It'll cover your shipping, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Shipping. She's going to be at CookieCon.
I know.
She offered for us to share at the booth, but you and I will not be going with that. It would have been super cool.
I know.
You could have done – what would we have done if we did a booth at CookieCon, Benny Hall?
Made royal icing. Ate royal icing from the bag.
We would have had to do – like, if we had to have a vendor.
I don't know. I would have to think about it.
I'd be like, wait, here.
I'm not thinking about going. I'm not going.
I'm going to the beach. Can't make it. But, that'll be cool. CookieCon ticket sales go soon.
Does it? May.
May?
Okay. Yeah.
I won't Google all of them. Did we cover everything? I feel like we're missing something.
We're missing our twinny Tourette.
Okay, here's my twin dress.
What? I don't know if that's a good twin dress.
Okay, so when I had a motorcycle, just because you have a motorcycle, definitely, which I don't have anymore, doesn't mean you suddenly have the sense of direction. Mm-hmm. Not a clue. I needed to – okay, you can hear directions, but like – oh, sorry. I don't need to hear the second before I take a right, then I need to take a right. I like to see it. Okay, so how do you mount your phone to your bike? Turns out this company called QuadLock got into it. So it kind of started with motorcycle mounts.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, here's how you do it. So, you know, like pop sockets?
Uh-huh.
Pop sockets are great, but you can't take them off.
Right.
So if you have the non-magnetized pop socket, you're kind of just, you can't charge from the back anymore.
I know.
So this QuadLock thing has like a removable pop socket of sorts.
You don't even need to remove that one anymore, do you?
Yeah, I do. To drive from the back.
Oh, you still need to remove it?
But now I bought, they have an external charger. It fits right in there and charges, gives me one extra charge. But I tried this lanyard. Do I like
it? Lanyard?
I'm not sure yet.
Remember that was so popular back in the day when Coach had little charms hanging off?
Yeah, I know. Phones are getting massive. This is my new theory. To use a phone without a case, without a grip on the back.
Yeah.
It's a death
sentence. You have a grip.
But for the last week, I've not. This came in on Saturday.
So you got this specifically for the week of, you got the little dangle thing?
Yeah. This is a new feature, this little hole they cut in her. What are you looking at me like I'm from an alien species?
You didn't have that on Saturday.
It came Saturday night.
So, but you don't technically need it because you have that little circle thing.
I don't know what I'm deciding if I need the landing.
Double protection over here.
If you bought it as a group, it was cheaper. They saw me coming from a mile away. So I had the lanyard. Then I had the popsock. I'm not sure if I like the lanyard. To me, it's like a bacteria catcher.
Yeah.
I have a problem with yours.
Listen, I might use it on the lanyard.
Corey has this lanyard. We tried to buy her many a Coach bag.
It's been so many years that I've had a lanyard.
It's, I can guarantee you they could create a sourdough starter from your lanyard.
Yeah. We're going to take this
clean. Do you clean it?
I get a new one. I have cleaned it, though.
Did you put it? I think you put that in the washing machine.
Not the leather part.
I think you could, man. Cows get wet.
That's disgusting.
It's not even bright colors.
Daisies. Dark daisies.
Daisies popping up from there.
I've tried to get away from the lanyard. It's because when I sold cars, the key to unlock the cards was on the lanyard.
And I Corey just, calls it a lanny now.
I don't think you're trying to get rid of it.
Where's my lanny? So anyways, I got a lanny. I think it's a germ, but I could wash it, I guess. And then the pop socket in the charger. I know Corey's going to say, oh, no.
Yeah.
Corey, okay, I want to tell you, probably 5 months
ago. Yeah.
Corey said, listen, I'm a ride or die. If you want to get into a new hobby, sign me up.
You didn't do the cake decorating class when everyone else did.
Yeah, two other people were riding or dying. I didn't need to talk. So Corey said, I think I'd like to get into sourdough. And I'm like, hey, if someone wants to bake bread, who am I to stand in their way? So I said, sign me up. Corey told me it was an hour-long class.
I believed it was.
It was a 2.5. I'm looking at the clock being like, well, bye, guys. And she's like, now we're gonna
fold and squish.
We're going to fold. She's like, we're going to speed up the fold and squish time. She squeezed it into an hour.
I know. That was crazy.
Okay, tell us about it.
Okay, so we went to sourdough class. Sourdough is 3 ingredients, man. 4 tops if you add a little salt.
But yeah. The sourdough is gnarly. It's a pet. It even said in the instructions, welcome to your new pet.
Yes. Heather, of course, gave me custody of her pet. I'm trying to keep both alive.
Bread pit, I did not win you any divorce.
So Heather was a good sport. We went to the bread class. We were making breads. Didn't follow one of the directions. And I told Heather to do it wrong, too. So we both did it wrong. Still, it turned out – the thing is, we couldn't make a bread there. It needs to sit for 7 hours to rise. So she was like, okay, take your pets home. Heather didn't bring a towel.
You didn't bring a – I didn't have the instructions.
I had brought you
a
towel.
No. It said bring a large bag to carry this back.
I didn't bring a large bag. Corey didn't.
So we've got one. I want to tell you how much stuff. We have 2 bread bowls, 2 bread cloths. We have 2 giant mixers full of bread. Then bread covering the cloths, but I borrowed her cloth, so mine was naked outside, the rain fell in.
Yeah. He needs to be covered. Heather's bread dough, like I could tell when class was over, Heather was done, and I was going to be getting her dough. But there was this, she had this tip where she was like, if you want to know if your dough has risen enough, which I'm always like, why couldn't you just look? She gave you a little measuring cup, and you put a little piece of your dough in there, and you can watch that one
rise.
So you
didn't have to really open
it. So you didn't have to look at your own dough.
It was like a bread thermometer.
It was. But then Heather ran out of hands. So she threw
We needed to dry. We needed to run. There was umbrellas.
She threw her bread thermometer cup into her dough ball.
Okay.
You reabsorbed it. It rose with that. I had to yank it out of its grasp.
One, I don't think you guys understand how gnarly sourdough is on the back end.
It's very sticky.
It feels like a creature.
It does.
And it was burping and it was growing and rising. It was eating and it was pooping.
But the best part of class is you got your own sourdough starter. So then I went home, made my loaf, made Heather's loaf. My loaf looked perfect. Heather's looked like it hadn't been
seen
there.
Okay, here's one. Because Corey did not bring any form of bag to ride. Like, okay, I took a turn. It was the slowest turn I've ever taken in a vehicle in my life. Of course, bread pit rolled away.
Okay, but listen, every one of these cups and bowls is rounded all the time.
I don't get why you thought it would have set up.
I said, let's buckle them in.
I didn't want his bread body on my seat.
So we thought that Heather had killed her starter because it had flown
across. I think I gave
car.
Him a will to live even more.
So we held our own starters in our hands on the way home to keep them warm.
But I was driving, so mine wasn't as warm. Anyway, but Corey really liked it. It is three. I would say I thought bread class was like how to make bread. No, it's how to keep time.
It really honestly is, because you need a fold at a certain time. Mm-hmm. It can over ferment if you don't move it to the fridge in time.
This thing is higher maintenance than most people's girlfriends. That was what sourdough bread was.
So like every morning, we took this class on Saturday. It's taking me 30 minutes to feed these puppies in the morning, because you have to measure. Mix.
Really? I measured. It was like what, a 1-to-2 ratio of water. Here's
the thing. She said if you pour any of the starter down your garbage disposal, it turns into like
plaster.
Bread plaster.
Okay. The funnest thing about this, I hated everything. It was fine. But everyone names their sourdough bread. So here is the sourdough starters. Mine was an ender, but here are some names I have just Googled. Bridget Bardot.
Yeah.
Shannon Doherty. Clint Eastwood.
Yeastwood?
Adam Levin. Carrie Bradshaw. Ryan Seacrest. Taylor Swift. These are hilarious.
Heather named hers Brad Pitt. She wanted me to name mine.
Doe Biden.
Angelina Doe Lee.
Post DeLone. Madonna. Whitney Houston. I'd say Puff Daddy, but I think he's in hot water. But if you put
– this was the funnest one. Someone said they named theirs Lazarus because you always bring him back from the dead and he rises.
That's hilarious. People – oh, the Bread Street Boys. That's Elon funny. Cross. People are so funny. Brad Paisley.
Yeah. So that was fun. I've made 4 loaves now on my own.
I had one for breakfast this morning. I'll say fantastic. Fantastic.
Fantastic?
Yeah. And then with the discard – you can make pancakes and...
I'm not even that advanced.
Brownies.
I realized that I was keeping the leaven alive as much as I was keeping the starter alive. And my teacher created this Facebook group, which was kind of cool. So if you've taken a class, you get added to this Facebook group.
I thought that's something we should do for
a few classes. And then so you can ask questions after the fact in one spot. So I was like, hey... a lot of little babies around here. My morning is
Corey was feeding things she shouldn't have been eating. Everything was eating that shouldn't have been eating.
I was like, my sourdough discard was huge. I had so much, like, it's getting to the point where I'm sorry, worried
is
about.
The discard just more bread starter?
Yeah, but you're putting it in the fridge and it doesn't survive there.
It survives for a week.
Too much if you do not ever take the discard out and refeed.
I don't understand what the discard itself. Is. Is it a line above the starter? How do you know where it starts and stops?
Remember, she just gave us that it has to be 30 grams.
Yeah.
I think it's 30 grams in a small jar. So in the other ones, I have 60 grams because it's a bigger jar that I got.
So the discard jar is how do you know how much goes?
You always bring it back to the 30 and the 60.
It's just healthy bacteria. And you're like, sorry, buddy, you're on top. You're dead now?
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough bread world.
I think.
Someone who is listening to this who is into sourdough, please text in that Corey has made a mistake.
I will say sourdough makes the house smell great.
How could you not? When we walked in, she was making everyone who had ordered sourdough.
Yeah. Yeah, she had inclusions in hers, which means she added
raisins
and garlic.
I do not like a raisin. Raisin.
Yeah, it was so good. We had a good class there. Lots of friendly people.
Yeah, and if you were wondering from a marketing standpoint, what we would add, I would say that in our cookie classes, we don't let them keep their scribes. In hindsight, maybe I wish I would have let them keep their scribes.
Yeah, because she let us keep a whole bowl.
And she got it from Target for 50 cents.
Yeah.
It felt like value added.
Cheesecloth. Because I would have hated to go get
that. Like those glass jars that say, those fancy glass jars for bread people and canners.
Yes, canners.
That was what you needed to keep your starter in. Uh-huh. What else? She did not give us a mixing bowl, but I would think that was
she fair. Said bring your own, which made sense.
Because I thought the Facebook group was a very smart idea.
Absolutely. She gave me step-by-step instructions. It's pinned in the Facebook group. It was nice to have it tangible because when I was in the kitchen, I was constantly looking at it, so I didn't have to go try to find it.
What I don't think she did that I think would be cool is if in that Facebook group she had pinned videos for each of the steps.
Yeah.
We talked about that, and we thought maybe a couple more emails ahead of time to kind of let us know what to bring, because she only told us to go bring stuff the night before, which wasn't enough time for some people to get big bowls.
Big bowls. It was fun. It was – I can't believe I made a bread.
Yeah, you made a bread, man. You have a new pet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a lot of work. Corey woke up at 2:45 a.m.
Because if you let it rise too much, it can over ferment. And she said, then it will just be a very, very sour bread, like almost like you don't want to eat it. but it can sit in cold proofing for a while.
Sourdough people, because the bacteria eats the gluten. It's not for gluten intolerance. For gluten sensitivity, you could eat sourdough. And because it's kind of like, if you're my kombucha babes, you would say that kombucha helps the stomach bacteria. Yeah. This also does. This
is easier to digest.
Yeah, and I agree. It was like a Bucci vibe.
I read, if your bread bounces back, you squish and it bounces back, it's a healthy bread.
I feel like yours is bouncing.
I think it would bounce back.
I think your bread was bouncing.
Bouncing into Easter.
Yeah, back to that.
Yeah, but what I really loved is bread photography.
Oh, yeah.
What?
The weird part, because we talked about, like, Corey's like, can you believe the price? Like, if you wanted to order a bread bun, like a baked bun from her, it was $10.
For a straight sourdough.
So I'm at, but this thing was, like, pretty big. Like, I don't know. How a foot across, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that too exaggerated?
Maybe I feel like a little bit over, but yeah.
Yeah, for $10. But then Corey's like, the price of bread, I looked it up, is, like, cents on the dollar. It, like, it's it not, takes, like, a dollar to make. World,
but the time is.
The time is. So is she wrong to charge $10 a loaf?
I feel would like that's charge correctly. More than that.
But then Corey added all these fancy words like gluten intolerance and bouncing stomach lining, kombucha,
baby,
custom home baked loaf included into my
freshly
starter.
Baked. I don't know. I'm excited about this journey. Excited. I can make a loaf a day. Made two loaves today.
You mean you're so passionate you can make a loaf a day, or you have enough to make a loaf a day?
I have enough to make a loaf.
No, you're not passionate about it.
Okay, good enough. A little tired of making loaves.
Okay, guys, we'll see you next week.